Let us remind ourselves again that prayer is a weapon, and as what we have heard in the beginning, that when worry tries to enter our hearts and our minds, what we need to do is pray. Truly, prayer is a weapon. As the church goes through and our readings, daily readings, go through the ministry of Christ from one gospel to another, there is no question that the gospel opens to its readers how Jesus conducted his earthly ministry. Jesus was solitary in prayer. He was for solitary prayer. But he was not a hermit who made occasional visits into town. Jesus was a prayerful man. At the same time, he was actively involved with real people and surrounded by friends and disciples. We would describe Jesus more of as an itinerant missionary who went from one place to another. Some cities accepted him, while others rejected him. However, neither rejection nor popularity determined Jesus' actions. From the Gospel of Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, you see the imperative necessity for Christ to preach the gospel to other cities. He said, or the gospel says rather, "But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." The number of his disciples kept growing and adding in number as he went from one city to another. He did not stay in one place. He kept on moving because he knew that his mission was as a missionary to proclaim the gospel to different places. Some of us were called into that type of missionary work. We leave our homeland. We go to places to preach the gospel because that's where God opened the door. And that is the ministry of the church. And as Jesus was going from one city to another, as I said, his disciples were growing and adding in number. Other than the 12 disciples, there were others. And in this specific gospel and text that we have read, St. Luke included and specified women who were part of Jesus' team or entourage. St. Luke identifies these women who followed, served, and supported Jesus from their own means, namely Mary Magdalene or Mary from Magdala, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, someone, a person of prominence, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their own means, from their own substance, from their own personal pocket. These women were unique like the others. We can only envision the magnitude of their work, particularly I'm speaking about the women. They were serving on tables for more or less 100 people, making sure there were enough supplies from their own resources. If we look at the Old Testament, Exodus conveyed a distinguished role of women in Moses' upbringing. From his mother to the midwives, to Pharaoh's daughter, to Zipporah, his wife, and Miriam, his sister. We see this equally in the life of Timothy in the New Testament. From 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in you also." In other words, Paul was highlighting the influence of the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother in his life. St. Mark wrote about the mere bearing women coming to the empty tomb of the risen Christ. The inclusion of women in the group of followers who played a significant role in the missionary work of Jesus must have raised some eyebrows. Why? Because culturally, Jewish cultural norms restricted women's privileges even to speak in public or social gatherings. A woman could not so much as enter a synagogue or pray the Shema. Jesus was different. He introduced a concept of the kingdom of God, showing real koinonia, fellowshipping in the new covenant. Jesus has been consciously building up a community of complementarily in roles and gifts. Men and women are gifted by God, as we have heard in the first reading from St. Paul's writings to Roma, to the church in Rome. God created both women and men in His image and likeness. And as in the society we live in, that there is a growing question and issue about gender inequality, I would say that the Bible does not make such an issue, because we are all created in the image of God. Men and women were created in the image of God. Functions may differ, but we were all created in the image of God. And we are all the same in the eyes of God. As I said, different as it may in function, but not in the eyes of God. We are all equal in the eyes of God. There are some very gifted women that I know of. Scripture shows women in variety of roles, playing an important part in God's salvation plan. We can only think immediately of the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There is no fundamental distinction between believers based on gender, race, or social status in Christ. I would even say that gender inequality may be a human invention. The Bible is replete or full with godly, faithful women like Ruth, Hannah, Abigail, Esther, Elizabeth, and Tabitha, and others. The church comprising the holy orders, including the priesthood of the believers, is in the world but not of it. The church's existence is to embody the resurrected Christ and to witness to God's will, its relation to God and to the world. The church seeks to discern what God is doing in history, in the work and God's work of transformation. The church participates in is a conduit of God's salvation work and activity until the coming of Christ. That includes men and women. Let us seek what God wants us to do in participation in the ongoing unfolding of God's plan of salvation. Every Christian must be a part of it. And that is what St. Paul was saying, that we need to give of our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We need to give of our lives, as he was exhorting the Christians in Rome, to give of their lives as a living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice like the animals of the Old Testament, but living sacrifice to God. And as we do so, we become a part of what God is doing in the earth. And then we experience God's will in our lives, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That we, here and now, will experience God's life and become a witness to what God is doing in the earth. My brothers and sisters, we are not worshiping and serving a dead God. We are worshiping a God who is alive and by His Holy Spirit is doing and continually doing, untiringly doing His work in and through the church. I pray for all of us that we will pause for a moment and say, God, what are you calling me to do? Even the women had a place and a role to play in Christ's ministry. And I would like to end with this thought. The mystery of the ways of God, truly it is mysterious. God is a God who is omnipotent. He can do anything. And yet, he needs humans to be a part of what he's doing in the earth. May we have the heart today to trust and to respond to God's call. The church has a responsibility to proclaim the gospel from city to city. That is our responsibility until Christ comes. Let us join our hands together. Let us offer to God our lives and make that possible through the power of the Spirit.